Amen. I hope you know that tonight. I hope that you know without a doubt that you have everlasting life, because we can sure know it. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Psalm 113. Psalm 113 is where we'll be tonight. Psalm 113, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord." By the way, that word praise is the word halal or halal. And it's where we get our word hallelujah, praise of Yah, praise of Jehovah. And the psalmist, whoever that may be, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically who it is, he says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens." Verse number 5, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high?" And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, "A Rhetorical Question." A rhetorical question. The Bible says in verse number 5, and by the way, what does the term rhetorical question, what does that mean? I would think most everybody would know, but if you don't, I want you to know, because that has a lot to do with what we're preaching tonight. What does somebody mean when they say, "Well, that was a rhetorical question"? It means it doesn't need an answer because we already know the answer. I didn't ask the question for an answer because we already know what the answer is. And in verse number 5, we already know the answer, don't we? The Bible says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high?" We know the answer to that. Nobody. No one, no God, no person, no activity. Nothing compares to the Almighty God. The Bible says in verse number 6, "Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth, who raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." So I want to continue our thought and continue to fix our attention upon this matter of thankfulness and thanksgiving, as we've been doing for the past 2 or 3 weeks. And I want to bring you this message tonight entitled, "A Rhetorical Question." And let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we sure do love You. We're thankful for the opportunity to come in the middle of the week and to be encouraged and helped from Your Word. Father, I pray for the children and the teenagers and every helper and every worker that's here tonight. Pray, Lord, I thank You for the nursery workers and those little ones there. And Father, I pray that You would help in every classroom. I pray that You'd help here in the auditorium. And Father, I pray that everything that's done on this property tonight would be done decently and in order. Father, I pray that Your Word would be given with clarity, with truth. Father, if there's a child, a teenager, an adult that needs to be saved tonight, Father, I pray that they would not leave this place until that matter is settled. Father, we love You. Father, we ask that You would do in these next few moments what only You can do. We commit them to You, and we ask Your blessing upon them. Father, we ask that You would bless those that couldn't be with us tonight for whatever reason. Father, we pray that You would place a blessing upon them. Pray that You would help them to understand that they are missed. Help them to understand that Father, You desire for them to be here. And Father, I pray that You just help. Lord, teach us tonight, and we'll thank You and praise You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This psalm, many believe, and it fits the context, many believe that this psalm was sung by the Jews during their solemn feast, especially the Passover. And so here tonight in Psalm 113, really, the gauntlet is thrown down to us tonight to ask us the question, will we praise Him? Will we sing a psalm similar to this during our solemn feast? And I want to give you tonight just two thoughts, and we'll develop those. We'll develop those thoughts tonight. But I want to break this psalm down and give us two thoughts tonight. And I want to begin with, first of all, seeing the character of God's person. I want us in Psalm 113 tonight to see the character of God's person. The Bible begins in verses 1 through 3, it really begins with praise, but in verse number 4, we really begin to see the character of the individual that's being spoken of in Psalm 113 of Jehovah. And the Bible says in verse number 4, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high?" The character of God's person. The first thing I want us to see tonight about the character of God's person is that His greatness is unattainable. His greatness is unattainable. And all I mean by that is what we mentioned just a moment ago. There is no one, there's no God, there's no person that is equal to our God, to Jehovah God. There is no activity. There is no child. There is nothing. And I say that tonight because there are many times that we put people in our lives, we put them above God. Many times parents will put children and their activities and their needs above God in their lives. Many times a husband will put a wife above God. Many times a wife will put a husband above God in her life. And the Bible says here, many times Christians will put activities and hobbies and engagements and outings above God. And the Bible says here, "The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens." Who? Who is like unto the Lord our God? Nobody. Nothing. No God who dwelleth on high. First of all, tonight, as we see the character of God's person, we see, first of all, that His greatness is unattainable. Secondly, tonight, I want us to see that His graciousness is unbelievable. His greatness is unattainable, but His graciousness is unbelievable. By the way, tonight, what does the word grace mean? When we talk about God's grace, what does that word mean? It means getting something that we do not deserve. We mentioned this maybe Sunday or maybe two Sundays ago. Mercy and grace, we use them interchangeably, but they're two different words. Mercy is me not getting what I deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve judgment. But mercy is me not getting what I deserve. Grace is me getting what I don't deserve. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't deserve His blood, but I get it. Why? Because of the grace of God, His unmerited favor. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. His graciousness is unbelievable because He doesn't have to be gracious to us. He doesn't have to reach down to wretched man. The Bible says in verses 4 and 5, He is the one that dwelleth on high. He is the one that nobody is like. His glory is above the heavens. He dwelleth on high. But notice what it says in verse 6. Who? Speaking of God. Speaking of Jehovah. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who humbleth Himself? Isn't that amazing? The Bible says, "Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth." Isn't it amazing that the God of this universe, the God that reigns on high, is willing to humble Himself, but wretched man that we're so many times not willing to humble ourselves? We're so full of pride sometimes. We get into arguments with our spouse or we have a disagreement with a co-worker, or maybe there's a disagreement with a child, and we're so unwilling to humble ourselves, we're so full of pride. And the Bible says here that our God, the God whose greatness is unattainable, is so full of graciousness. Bible says, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Let me give you a third thing about the character of God's person. His greatness is unattainable. And by the way, we're going somewhere, so just hang on. We'll get to number two in just a moment. Number two applies to us. Number one applies to us too, but number two, we're going to look at the response. What should our response be to this type of God? What should our response be to the character of God's person? His greatness is unattainable. His graciousness is unbelievable. Thirdly, His goodness is unforgettable. Would you look at verses 7 through 9? The Bible says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. You know what the dunghill is? Somebody tell me, what's the dunghill? Compost. It's compost. That is a great way to put it. It's compost. My daddy, and I've mentioned this before, but my daddy out beside our milk barn had a huge pond. It was probably, I would say it was probably 50 feet, more than 50 feet, but it was at least 50 feet, probably by 25 feet at least, probably bigger than that. We had a pond out beside our milk barn, and in that pond, it wasn't nice blue water where you catch fish. It was a pond full of dung. It was a pond that we would scrape our barn with the skid loader. We would scrape our two barns, the big barn where the cows stayed, the barn where we fed the cows. We would scrape everything out of those two barns into that pond. That's where the snapping turtles lived. And then there would be guys that would come and get those snapping turtles out of the corners of the pond and take them home and eat them. They'd say, "You want us to bring y'all some turtle soup?" No. But they would take those things, that's what they had been living on. And they'd take those things home and eat them. But that's all that big pond was. And the Bible says that God in His graciousness and God in His goodness lifted us. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse number 41, "Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock." He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, verse 8, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. Hey, do we understand tonight as children of God that we're going to reign with Him one day? We're going to reign with Him one day. And the Bible says that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to do what? To have kids. The Bible says He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. We see, first of all, tonight the character of God's person. His greatness is unattainable. His graciousness is unbelievable. His goodness is unforgettable. About verse number 7, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "What a dunghill was that upon which we lay by nature. What a mass of corruption was our original estate. What a heap of loathsomeness we have accumulated by our sinful lives. What reeking abominations surround us in the society of our fellow men. We could never have risen out of all this by our own efforts. It was a sepulcher in which we saw corruption and were as dead men. Almighty were the arms which lifted us, which are still lifting us, and will lift us into the perfection of heaven itself." One of the things I was fearful of every time I drove that skid loader cleaning out the barn, I was always scared I was going to run off into that pond. Because that pond, it was at least 50 by 25, but it was at least 10 or 15 feet deep. And I knew, I'm out here by myself cleaning these barns. If I fall in there, nobody's going to know I'm in there. And I'm going to drown in the pond. And that was one of my fears. And that's what Spurgeon says. He said, "We could never have risen out of all of this by our own efforts." God is good, isn't He? His goodness is unforgettable. His graciousness is unbelievable. His greatness is unattainable. Here's the truth, though, tonight. We're so engaged and we're so fixated upon ourselves and we're so engaged in the things of this world that so many times we fail to see the goodness of God. We fail to see the graciousness of God, and we fail to understand how miraculous it actually was when He saved us from sin. Number one tonight, we see the character of God's person. But number two tonight, I want us to see the chorus of our praise. Because what should be the response to the character of God's person? It ought to be praise. Number two tonight, we see the chorus of our praise. This is the hallelujah song and the hallelujah chorus all in one in Psalm 113. The chorus of our praise. Okay, if He's so good, if He's so great, if He's so gracious, what does that mean to us tonight? It means we ought to praise Him. It means we ought not be shy about it. That means that we ought to be willing to open our lips and praise Him. But it also means we ought to live our lives on a daily basis in praise to Him. It means that the way I live every day ought to be a walking billboard of praise to my great God. Look what the Bible says. We've already read in verses 1 through 3 the chorus of our praise. First of all tonight, praise is our calling as servants. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." Praise is our calling as servants. Verse number 9, it ends with "Praise ye the Lord." Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Praise ye the Lord. So number 1, the chorus of our praise. Praise is our calling as servants. Hey, let me ask you, I don't want you to raise hands tonight. I really don't. I don't want you to do that tonight. But how many of you sing? Please don't raise hands tonight. How many of you sing in your cars? Okay. What kind of music is it that you sing in your car? Is the genre or type of music or even the performer who wrote the song, is he worthy of me lifting my voice in singing that song? Maybe, I don't know. The answer could be yes, the answer could be no. But many times there are Christians who will sing to the top of their voice in the car a song that does not glorify God, and then they'll come in the house of God and sit in the pew of God and never lift their voice to sing a hymn of God. That's a shame. Because our calling as servants is to praise Him. You say, "Pastor, I don't sing because I don't have a good voice." I get it. My wife and I were talking about this just probably an hour ago. I don't have a good voice either. But I like to sing because I have a God who deserves it. And I try not to do it very loud because I don't want people to hear it because it's not good. But you know what? I want God to hear it because He's worthy. He's worth. You know, I hear the kids on the van singing songs that are wicked and godless. One of the little girls last Wednesday night on the way home, she sang just a little clip of a song. She didn't sing it. She just made the statement. But I knew where the song came from. I knew who it came from. And I told her, "Oh, sweetie, don't sing that." I said, "Sweetie, that's not good." And I would say the statement, but I don't even want you to begin thinking about it tonight. It was a wicked, rotten statement that's in a song, and she made this statement. I said, sweetie, no, not in here. You're not gonna sing that in here." And we're so quick to sing songs that glorify God or glorify the world and glorify sin and glorify a man. And we're so tepid about singing praises to our God. Look, praise is our calling as servants. Pastor Thomas Baldwin of the Second Baptist Church in Boston, Massachusetts, during his Thanksgiving message in 1795, his text was Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." He made this statement during that message. He said, "If we have chosen the Lord to be our God, it is our indispensable duty to acknowledge with thanksgiving the numerous favors He confers upon us." And that is so true. If we have chosen the Lord to be our God, it is our indispensable duty to acknowledge with thanksgiving the numerous favors He confers upon us. Praise is our calling as servants. Secondly, praise is a celebration of His name. Praise is our calling as servants. Secondly, praise is a celebration of His name. A party needs only an excuse. A celebration demands a reason. And we have a reason to celebrate. And that's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 2, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same." The Lord's what? The Lord's what? Verse 3, name is to be praised. The character of God's person, He deserves it. His greatness is unattainable. His graciousness is unbelievable. His goodness is unforgettable. And because of that, there ought to be a chorus of praise from His people. It is our calling as servants. It is a celebration of His name. There was a distinct reason for this chorus of praise. We don't know exactly maybe the context and what they're praising God for, what He did for the nation of Israel, but they are praising the name of Jehovah. By the way, can we go real quickly? Would you go to the New Testament, to the book of Acts? By the way, let me say this tonight. This is why we ought never, ever, 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 ever use the name of God or Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ as a curse word. Ever. Ever. Because His name is worthy of praise, not worthy of profanity. See, a lot of people think they're being bold when they use profanity. It doesn't take boldness to be profane. Takes boldness to be righteous. Boldness to be righteous. And so many people feel like, well, if I use profanity, that shows that I'm strong. That shows me that I'm bold. No, no, no. You're bold when you show forth righteousness in your life. Acts chapter number 4. Praise is our calling as servants. Praise is a celebration of His name. Acts chapter number 4. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other." Hey, Oprah's wrong. There's not a whole lot of ways to heaven. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven, and that's through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not many paths to heaven. There's not many roads to heaven. Well, I think we'll all get there somehow. Hey, you'll get there through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other," what? Name. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It's Jesus Christ. And praise is a celebration of His name. Then thirdly tonight, take your Bibles and go back to Psalm 113. We're talking about the chorus of our praise. Praise is our calling as servants. Praise is a celebration of His name. And then thirdly tonight, praise is to be continually on my lips and in my life. You see what the Bible says there in verses 2 and 3? The Bible says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth," and what? forevermore. From this time forth and forevermore. And then notice verse number 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. That means when I get up in the morning, when that sun rises, and I get up until the time I go to bed at night, when that sun goes down, that my lips and my life are to constantly be manifesting and demonstrating and exclaiming praise for my God. That doesn't mean at work that every second that I'm at work that I'm praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's not what that means. But it does mean that with my life, every second of the day that I'm at work, I ought to be praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. People ought to look at our lives, the people at work, the people in our families, the people that we meet in the public square, they ought to see the praise of God lived out in our lives. The Bible says, from the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The chorus of our praise. Praise is our calling as servants. It's a celebration of His name. And it is to be continually on my lips and in my life. My life, as we said just a moment ago, ought to be a walking billboard of the praise that I have, of the thankfulness that I have for the goodness of God, for the greatness of God, and for the graciousness of God. Dear friend, He's so gracious. He's so good to us. He is high above the Bible says He is, in verse number 5, He dwelleth on high. Verse 4, His glory is above the heavens. The Lord is high above all nations. And can I encourage us tonight? Look, that's how we need to see God once again, as high and lifted up. That's the way Isaiah saw Him in Isaiah 6. He saw Him high and lifted up. We have made, and Romans chapter 1 speaks to this, we have made a God in our world that is no different than our best buddy that lives next door to us. He's no different than the guy that we go hang out at the bar with. Oh, dear friend, we need to see Him like Isaiah saw Him. High and lifted up. Father, that's why there's so much superficiality in Christianity today. It's because we don't see Him high and lifted up. We don't see Him as the Lord above the heavens. We don't see Him as the one who dwelleth on high. That's exactly who He is. The character of God's person ought to lead to the chorus of our praise. And I pray, I encouraged everyone, and I hope you've been doing this. If you haven't, I hope you'll start. Encouraged everyone to make a list, a big list, not just a little two or three things, but make a big list of things you're thankful for. Last Sunday night, we did ABCs of thankfulness, and we talked about godly men and women. You ought to do that. You ought to write down on A through Z and write down the people who you're thankful for who have spiritually influenced your life. We're going to do that this Sunday night, but you ought to take a piece of paper and A to Z, write down what you're thankful for Christ about. All it does is makes us think. By the way, good luck with X. You're not going to find one. You're going to have, but I've got one. I've got one. Be here Sunday night and I'll tell you what it is, okay? I'm stretching a little bit. A through Z. What are you thankful for Christ about? I'm thankful for His A. I'm thankful for His B. You ought to make your several list. Thankful. He's worth it. He's worthy. He deserves it. I told you last Sunday, I made a list A through Z of all the foods I like. That's easy. But isn't He good to give us all that too? Nothing wrong with being thankful for that. And by the way, my A through Z on my food list, I have 5 or 6 on almost every one of them except for X. Good luck with X again. Do it. Hey, A through Z. What are the things I'm thankful for about my family? my kids, my wife, A through Z. A rhetorical question. Who? Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? What's the answer? Nobody. Doesn't need an answer. We know the answer. Greatness, goodness, graciousness deserves a chorus of praise. And I pray that we'll do that. Look, not just this month. I know we preach on thankfulness during November, but it ought to be a 365-day-a-year thing where we're thanking and praising God because He's worthy. Father, we thank You for the time You've given us tonight. Father, please help us to be a grateful people. Father, please help us to allow a chorus of praise to emanate from our lips and from our lives. And Father, not just during the month of Thanksgiving and not just on Thanksgiving Day, but Father, throughout the whole year. And Father, You're worth it. You're worthy of it. You deserve it. And Father, we're thankful tonight. I'm thankful tonight for Your graciousness. I'm thankful that You pulled us out of that dust and out of that dunghill. Father, I'm thankful for Your goodness. Father, You make the barren woman, You allow her to have children. Father, You set us in places to rule with princes. We don't deserve that. And Father, You are high above the heavens. Father, we're grateful for Your greatness tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us to be grateful people. Help us to be people that are thankful on a daily basis. Father, I ask that You go with us as we leave tonight. Father, I pray that You would give us safety as we go to our homes. Bring us back together on Sunday ready to hear from Your Word once again. Father, help us to be back Sunday ready to lift our voices in praise. Father, we love You tonight. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. It's about 10 till. You've got plenty of time to pray tonight. Let me encourage you to take some time and lift up these requests that were given tonight in prayer. You are dismissed.